Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Caleb is talented, and the reason I'm buying stock is because of Ben Johnson. He would never have succeeded under the previous regime, but Ben Johnson is a guy that comes in with enough cachet after what they accomplished in Detroit offensively to actually hold Caleb's feet to the fire.
That is the voice of our next guest. You know him because when he has things to say, he brings it here on Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. It is Sean King, the Super Bowl winning quarterback, also known, told us the other day over at Vegas at Circa that he was J.J. McCarthy's offensive coordinator at IMG Academy, Super Bowl 37 champion, at Real Sean King on Twitter. He joins us on that Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He's also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Hey, Sean, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're just trying to put it all back together, figure out what happened and see what's next. I want to know your impressions of that Monday night football game, being someone who's worked with J.J. McCarthy and all the things you had to say about Caleb Williams to this point.
Well, the thing about J.J. where he's ahead of Caleb is J.J. has bulletproof emotions. When he played bad in the first half, he didn't have bad body language. He didn't have bad energy. You didn't see a look of despair or disgust on his face. All you saw was a guy that was telling his teammates, hey, my bad, don't worry about it. We're going to get it right. And you saw him sitting with his head coach and receiving the coaching, receiving the information. Then in the second half, you saw him go out and apply the information that he had received in a positive manner. That's the difference between where J.J.'s career arc is headed and where Caleb's career arc is headed. Caleb is emotionally immature still. He's got the talent. His short area quickness and acceleration from 0 to 10 might be the best in the league. But he's hiding behind a huge deficiency that I don't know if he won't acknowledge because he's ashamed. He does not see the field well from the pocket. If you look at early in that game, and this is a crossroads for Caleb, and I'm going to say something, and I want somebody that knows Caleb or Caleb himself to get this information and receive it where it's coming from, because it's coming from a place of love, not a place of joking or malice. Get rid of all the antics, big dog. Stop painting the fingernails. Take the do-rag off your head. Stop dressing for the game like you had practice. And just look like a franchise quarterback. Because here's what's happening. Ben Johnson is very familiar with Brian Flores. On that first drive, he dialed up a beautiful play. Roma Dunze runs a corner post, and he's wide open. First series of the game. And Caleb doesn't even look at him. All the crowd sees as he checks the ball down. And they're like, oh, Caleb's developing. Ben Johnson's furious on the sideline.
Now
he's got to make those people believe that football is the number one priority in his life and none of that other stuff matters. That he's fully focused on growing and developing at the quarterback position. Because, and I know I'm getting a little long-winded, but I wanted to get this point out. His safety net is losing all the leverage. I don't think Ryan Poles can win a battle against Ben Johnson. And Ryan Poles is the guy that's been holding the flag for Caleb Williams, making excuses for all of his shortcomings and deficiencies and replacing the blame somewhere else. When you play this game and when you coach, you know a lot of people, I was told from somebody that knows, that's in there, that Caleb called multiple plays wrong in the Monday night game. And so when that kind of stuff starts becoming whispers, then people start looking at it. Well, damn, if he didn't spend as much time on his other stuff, and he spent more time in his playbook, then maybe that wouldn't be an issue. So he's at a real crossroads. I don't know if he realizes it or not, but the cat's out the bag. You know, like, people know now. The stories are out. He was asked questions last year, and he wouldn't even respond. It's out there now, Caleb. You got to change that narrative.
Sean, I will say this. I paint my nails, too, and I love football. And I this is my priority is this show. I understand what you're trying to say, but I feel like that's as much of an expression of self as your hair or how you want to dress on a given day. I know there was a lot of attention given about the undershirt, but in defense of that, I will come up for that.
Let me ask you a question, though, because I'm glad you said that, because that's a rebuttal that a lot of people would have. But Caleb Williams is what? An employee, right? There's a certain decorum that you show up to work with. Now, there are some that are so successful and so good at their job in this space, they can show up to work however they want to look, right? Because their production and their performance is at such a high level, the other things don't matter. But when you start having to fight for your job, when your title is franchise quarterback, I don't know if whether he realizes it or not, but he's in the gauntlet right now because Ben Johnson wasn't a part of the group that brought him in. All that stuff starts to matter. Like, it's an expression of self. Hell, he's an employee. There's no other starting quarterback in this league that's a franchise caliber player that has those kind of antics. So if you want to be this Dennis Rodman type character, and I'm not telling you what to be and what not to be, I'm just saying the narrative that comes along with it. Then, damn it, you better lead the league in rebounds, right?
Yeah, Sean, I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, in sports in general, we've had so many players do so many different things from a personal standpoint. We go to the platinum blonde hair of Joe Burrow. We can go down the list, even for the quarterback position. I understand when you say like a franchise type quarterback. Doesn't all of that not matter if, in fact, this marriage, it's a newlywed relationship between Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. If he does make the improvement as soon as, let's say, this Sunday against the Detroit Lions, doesn't that talk go out of the window because it doesn't matter?
So here's why it doesn't go out the window, because it's not just the physical performance that's starting to get the criticism. It's the preparation. It's the accountability for the information that you're supposed to be responsible for at that position. That's why I bring up the other stuff, not because of anything on the field. It's because I'm hearing whispers that he has not been receptive, specifically last year, to coaching, to tutelage. I'm hearing stories that he called multiple plays wrong in the game. Understand what I'm saying here? I'm saying because of that, anything that you do that looks like it's just as important to you as being prepared to be the quarterback and understand everything that comes with that from just a non-physical standpoint, it becomes a part of your narrative.
Are you talking more about his teammates or the coaches?
I heard it from the coaches.
Okay, no. I'm not saying where you're hearing it from. I'm saying, are you talking about him presenting in such a way for his teammates or for?
I'm talking about the whole process that's going on inside the building about, is this going to be our guy moving forward? It's not like that decision is going to be made in the next three, four games. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if I knew him, I would say, man, listen, there's one thing we can nip in the bud right now. Man, we got all offseason to be individualistic. Man, let's cut all this other stuff up. And I would show him a picture of the top 10 quarterbacks in the National Football League. And I just would start with the uniform. Like, Caleb, who looks like this? In and of itself, hey, man, it's not a big deal. But they say you called some plays wrong. Dude, the fingernails. None of the top 10 guys got their fingernails painted, dog. I get it. You were suicide prevention. But how do you even know about that? And you can't call the plays right in the huddle. Am I kind of making it more clear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand perfectly what you're saying.
I feel like you're speaking from an experience that you would have received if you were in the same spot.
Let me give you guys context. I was on the Sporting News, the cover of Sporting News with Keyshawn Johnson, going into my first full-time year as a starter in Tampa, and we were predicted to win the Super Bowl. I am talking from a guy that played this quarterback under massive pressure and expectation. You are being evaluated in ways that you cannot process at the current time. That's why it takes someone like me to say the things that might make other people uncomfortable, because I want Caleb to know all of that stuff matters.
I will say this, Sean, in response to what you're saying, specifically about the fingernails. I remember in his sit-down interview with Courtney Cronin, he had stopped painting the fingernails late in the season last year. She asked him why, because it wasn't fun anymore. So I think the joy kind of was knocked out of that as one of his, whether you want to call it a hobby, preference, whatever you want to call it. We have seen him revert to that at least. So that makes me think that he would be open to even not doing it. But I can't knock him for bringing awareness to suicide prevention. I'm not going to knock a guy for doing that.
I feel the same way about it. I do. And I think, you know, Sean, there are other men in the league who get their nails done. They just might not have it as obvious. You know, it might be clear polish.
Hey, what quarterback that's a franchise caliber quarterback does it? Please put an address on this. Please.
I know men are getting the manicures. It's just a clear polish, as she said.
And I don't want this to get misconstrued as I'm not for suicide prevention. I hope people are understanding the semantics behind him not looking as prepared as he should be from a knowledge and information and understanding standpoint to play quarterback versus the Minnesota Vikings. That's when all of this other stuff starts to matter. Please hear me clearly. I don't give a damn if Caleb paints his fingernails. I don't give a damn if he wears a durag. I don't give a damn if he go out there on game day and look like he's at practice with the way he put his shoes. Like, I don't care. This is a former NFL quarterback speaking to a young NFL quarterback that probably does not understand how the process has already started in the building, how his evaluation is already being surmised and talked about in the building. Your head coach, who's the play caller, was pissed off with you Monday night, because he was dialing up plays that could have created breathing room early in that game, and you weren't processing, diagnosing it right. So now the game stays a little more competitive than it should be. We're missing some starters on defense. The defense wears down in the second half. Now all of a sudden, you know, Santos misses a field goal, and we're in a dogfight and we lose in a game where we should have been up by margin if my quarterback is fully locked in with what I'm trying to get accomplished. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think that part is lost on any of us, because we saw the game play out just as you did. Now, if you have information saying he didn't call the plays correct, that is just, that's the lead right there. That's the major concern here, is if he doesn't have the playbook down in a way in which he can relay the information exactly as it's specified to him by the play caller, aka Ben Johnson. And obviously Johnson would know about that. And if that's true, that makes sense why maybe Johnson had the tone that he did after the game, only giving 5 minutes to the press, and then even the next day, and then decided to take the bullets.
And Johnson's upset. He's upset that his first – and when I say things, I'm not talking in a micro oven kind of opinion. I'm not saying he's ready to give up on Caleb. But there is a level of frustration that the first time – I become a head coach, something I've worked for my entire life. I've got a young quarterback that I like, but I don't love, that really isn't a good fit for what I really want to do.
That's
this system. This system runs best with a rhythmic thrower of the football who can locate the football on a consistent basis and make great decisions. And if anybody thinks I just described the current version of Caleb Williams, then you have no idea what you're looking at. So now the onus is on Caleb to continue to make them feel like I'm fully committed to developing into the quarterback that can run this offense at an elite level. And I'm willing to give up everything else that I have going on and put everything I have into this one pursuit, goal, dream, and ambition. And that's to be and prove to you guys that I'm the franchise quarterback of the Chicago Bears in every way. Now, does my opinion on some of those other things kind of make a little more sense?
No, we hear what you're saying, Sean. And this is Sean King, by the way, who's been on our station before. We last saw him over at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. The former NFL quarterback who's joining us here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. And we know you feel very passionately about this. And I appreciate you clarifying.
Because I want the kid to win. I want the kid to win, man. He's so talented. He has so many God-given gifts that guys would die to have. Like, don't blow it. And then look back and be like, damn, dog, all I had to do was change that and tweak that a little bit. Because I'm telling you, I can see the frustration on Ben Johnson's face.
I think we can all see the frustration, but I think that, in my opinion, had to do with a lot of different things, including some of the mistakes he made in his first game as a head coach. In looking ahead now to the next game they're going to play, another division game, another big game, Ben Johnson's return to Detroit. What do you expect to unfold?
We're still learning. First thing for Chicago is how healthy are they defensively? Like, what were they out? Three starters, 3 of the 11 against the Vikings?
Arguably three of their best four players, yes.
Right. So, I mean, what defense in the NFL, you know, can play at their highest, you know, possible, you know, efficiency when you're missing that kind of talent? So are the three defensive starters back? Are they healthy? I think two of them were dealing with hamstrings.
Kyler?
You know how tricky hamstrings can be, you know?
Kyler Gordon, DNP, but it was a walkthrough. So DNP with the hamstring. TJ Edwards, limited practice with a hamstring. He didn't play last week. And then Jalen Johnson, full participant in what was considered a walkthrough, calf groin. So good news about Jalen, at least.
Well, I mean, because that's a big part of this, right? That defensive front wore down. And if Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason can run the ball, think what David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs potentially do. So, I mean, I think that's where it starts. On the other side, Caleb's got to find his balance. Ben Johnson's an aggressive play caller. Like, he's going to dial up shots where he wants to push the ball down the field. Caleb has to continue to work on finding his balance of where to be aggressive but not reckless. And then in rhythm, when I don't like the look, check the ball down, but also don't blindly go to the check down and miss some opportunities for some chunk, you know, potential touchdown kind of plays.
Sean King.
I'm not down on Caleb. I'm not down on the Bears. I wanted to send this message because I don't think there's anybody around Caleb that will voice this opinion.
Sean, thank you so much for being on with us. And we got your message at least loud and clear.
All right. I gave you guys something to talk about. Hey, if y'all hit me up in them DMs, I can fight. I will fight.
Ah.
Be respectful if you disagree, okay? I'm forewarning everybody in the DMs.
I'm sure they'll be very respectful in the DMs. That's where all the respectful talk goes. Thanks so much,
they're
Sean.
They're in our text line. Thank you, Sean. That was Sean King joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. We take a break and touch base with Mark Grody, who is out at Hollis Hall next on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Bears. Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll go next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What? Host of the Take the North podcast.
Mark Grody. Mark Grody, WBBM.
You're kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grody.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay.
We now go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we find Mark Grody. Mark Grote, the man who had to stay late yesterday because Bears practice went long and the media had to wait a little bit longer than they thought they would, for Caleb Williams. Mark, what is the latest out at the Hall today?
Yeah, I was just in the locker room a short while ago. The Bears are having their practice right now, so we just had our short media window, so I can't really give you deets from the practice at this point. We'll be able to do that later. But I can give you some information from inside the locker room, as Jalen Johnson did speak to the media, and I asked him, you know, straight up if he's going to be able to play, and he said, "I'll be good." Then he said, "Good to go." Then he said, "That's what I say. That's my anticipation." So it's a completely different tone than that of when we spoke to him last Tuesday, when he literally said that he was not going to be able to play on that day. He said it wouldn't be a thing, and I actually brought those words back to him. I said, "Last week you said it wouldn't be a thing. This week when I asked, brought that up to him, he said, good to go." At least that's – now he's speaking like a guy who thinks he's ready to play, which was the tell to me last week, is when Jalen Johnson, as competitive as he is, as much as he loves to go up against Justin Jefferson, when he was telling us 5 days before game day that he's not good to go and he wasn't giving any sign of wanting to play, that was a little bit jarring to hear. This week it's completely the converse. He is talking about wanting to play, which means it's going to be not necessarily up to him, but everything sounds good. Another thing too, like just to put a fine point on what happened last week, you know, he did reveal to us that he was never going to play in that game against Minnesota. So, I mean, which makes sense considering he had two injuries.
Gamesmanship by the coaching staff of the Bears.
Yes.
And Jalen Johnson,
yes,
also playing along, Mark, which is good to know he's got that acting vibe down. Mark Grody, he's one of our co-hosts, but today he is outside. Like, he went outside. He's down at Hallis Hall getting information for us. Anything else of note from today in the, yep, locker room that really jumped out at you, Mark?
Yeah, I think a couple of things that were interesting. Did we talk to DeAndre Swift, who we know the running game was not working the way the Bears wanted to work on Monday Night Football. DeAndre Swift was the only running back who touched the football in this game. And I just thought it was interesting to hear some of the things that he was saying. He said that, you know, he was stressed two or three times while we were talking to him, and authoritatively. Like, this wasn't the – let me just say this first before I tell you. DeAndre Swift, usually very quiet, very soft-spoken, not a lot of words, doesn't always like to talk. He was more commanding than I remember him being at any time last year. And he said, "We need to play cleaner football." He said that, you know, multiple times. He literally said, "We can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot." And then he was also asked, and this is a pretty honest answer too, like, what's going on? Like, literally with the run game, except for that one drive, which was on the grounding penalty by Caleb Williams, and then ultimately the missed field goal by Cairo Santos, which we'll talk about here in a second as well. You know, that was the only time that things were going well. But he said, hats off to Minnesota. I mean, it sounded like Minnesota was doing some things that, I don't know if confusion is the right word, but just doing things that were productive. And he name-checked Flores. He complimented Brian Flores, saying that they were doing good things. So, you know, that's an adjustment, obviously, that needed to be made in the game by the Bears side of the ball. So hopefully they will make more adjustments going forward. And I'll say this too. I had a good talk, and I'll play some of this on the afternoon show today during my 4 p.m. hit. I had a good talk with Kyle Manungai, and I think we were all upset for Kyle Manungai. We were angry for Manungai. We wanted to see Manungai get some carries out there. And, you know, his thought process was, look, I'm just back healthy. He played it perfectly in terms of being a rookie, and he said, I was just ready to do whatever they needed me to do. So he was not, at least he didn't come across as, and I feel like he's a pretty genuine guy, just getting to know him a little bit, he was not put off by, you know, not having a carry. We talked about his blocking. He admitted that that's something that he takes a ton of pride in, but he says that's still something that he's working on, and he knows that that is something that comes down to the quarterback trusting you and the coach trusting you. So I'll have some of that Manungai later on the afternoon show.
Well, at least you were able to paraphrase it for us since you're saving it for them, even though your name is on this show, Mark. Where are your loyalties?
I know. I just didn't have enough time between locker room and practice to come. I'm a one-man show out here today. Emma's down the block doing WBBM. Actually, I got Rick Gregg out here. Rick Gregg is the best.
But I love
look,
Rick.
We all... I know. Rick is the good. So
you need
look,
an assistant is what you're saying, Grody.
I do. You know, it's the one thing that Mitch would not give me, you know.
You need a personal intern.
This newer type of situation we have. I asked for an assistant, and it was like so many things. Just a fast no.
Well, we can try at least. Shoot or shoot, as they like to say.
I'll never stop shooting, Layla. You know that.
Hell yeah. So, okay, Mark, I also want to ask you this. We talked a little bit on our group thread last night. I would like to bring that to everybody who's listening because, well, you guys are a part of our group thread too. You, the listener. What were your impressions of what you heard from Caleb Williams and even just him being late, that kind of rarity? I feel like I wanted to communicate that to people at the top of our show at 10 a.m. What did you think, and why is that important to note for you?
Yeah, you know, actually, you know, I don't think there was any funny stuff going on. Like, I do think it was, at this point, maybe this is me being a naive reporter, I take them at their word that the schedule changed and they had things to do. You know, maybe there's more background to be had on that, and there were no whispers of anything like that today. Part of me liked it, actually. I didn't like having to stay until, you know, 8 o'clock at Hallis Hall last night. But what I did like was that it indicated to me that maybe there was some extra work to be done, or maybe there was some spirited conversations going on backstage. So I prefer to look at it that way. I don't know that. I don't have information. Nobody has whispered anything to me, but just the way they were talking about it. And, you know, when we were told by the Bears officials, nobody sounded alarmed. You know, when we were told, I said, this is just a schedule change. And they said, yes. So unless there is something different that we come to dig up out here, then I'm okay with it, and I'm good with it if it's in the name of making Caleb Williams better, if it is in the name of making the Chicago Bears better. And as far as, you know, what he said throughout that, you know, as usual with Caleb Williams, you know, whatever you want to say about him, he's pretty unflappable when it comes to taking questions that are sort of coded with criticism, as we do. Like, what could he have done better on that play? And should you have gotten rid of the ball more quickly? And, you know, he I don't know if it owned up to it is the right way to put it, but, you know, the questions were asked about the pre-snap penalties and what his, you know, what his responsibility is in that. And he did not back away from it. I don't know how it's going to be fixed going forward, and that kind of stuff wasn't really shared with us on the specifics. And if you listen to the press conference, you heard him saying they're not going to be giving stuff away and kind of smiling at the reporter who asked the question. But I did appreciate the way he answered most of the things that he was asked. I asked him about the running game, you know, and prefaced it with, and maybe I didn't need to preface it, but I did, in terms of, like, all quarterbacks want to throw the ball, but I think they understand the importance of the running game. And he essentially said, look, if the coach wants to run the ball more, then we're going to run the ball more, which, again, was the right answer.
This is Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody. Mark Grody, not in studio with us. He's at Hallis Hall, and he's fresh out of the Bears locker room where he was interviewing several subjects. Also was at the hall yesterday when Ben Johnson spoke and addressed the fact that he is returning to Detroit for the first time since becoming the head coach of the Chicago Bears. What did you make of his remarks and talking about his relationship with Dan Campbell and returning to Detroit this weekend?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because there was obviously a Detroit reporter out here who was, you know, leading the way in asking the questions, and, you know, he prefaced his question with essentially paraphrasing that there's a lot of guys who are kind of upset. They're a little soured on Ben Johnson for leaving. And I think, you know, I think that took him aback just a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, kind of like he doesn't want to, I mean, he wants to have good vibes in Detroit. He wants to be part of that community. He wants to have left a legacy. So I think he understands that. But to some degree, it's kind of like, look, the dude got a head coaching job, and maybe they're sour because specifically he goes to the Chicago Bears in the division, all of that stuff. But you can't blame a guy for taking a big, huge, very challenging job here with the Chicago Bears. So I thought he handled that well. Pretty funny the way, you know, what he was talking about, you know, being a computer nerd. I can't remember the exact words that were used to describe.
Snot-nosed computer nerd.
That's it. That's it. And the part about Ben Johnson is that he owns that part of himself, that he is the snot-nosed computer nerd, or he would not have shared that with us. He knows he's smart. He knows that's his identity. He knows he doesn't have the pro football background as far as playing is concerned. So I did like that part about it. And now it's just going to kind of be downplay, I think, the rest of the week. And we heard some of that coming out of Detroit, that once you step on the field, it does feel, guys, way more personal and way more important, that storyline from the Detroit side, than it sounds from this side.
Well, I think you could also make the argument, Mark, that as much as the Lions were able to score at will last year, Dan Campbell was the face of that team in a way. And I feel like that extended to the rest of the coaching staff. You know, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson. I feel like when you consider the faces of the franchise, as much as it was guys like Aiden Hutchinson, for example, I feel like they were up there as well, considered like that for people in Detroit.
Yeah. I mean, Dan Campbell is the soundbite. He's literally this hulking figure. He's kind of got that everyman look. You know, a guy like that, now that he's successful, everybody loves him. You know what I mean? Like, and a guy that goes for it, a guy that, you know, won 13 games in Detroit. Like, he has rebuilt with help, obviously, with guys like Ben Johnson and then the coaching staff and his bosses. Dan Campbell gets to be the face of the rebuilt, no long, they ain't no joke anymore, and he gets to be the face of that, and it's a gregarious face and a gregarious personality. Can one have a gregarious face?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they look happy. Yes.
They look okay. Like they want to be engaged with, and that they would entertain you in such engagement.
And kick your ass at the same time.
Well, there's that.
Just ask that one reporter.
That's balance. That's how that works.
We are all looking for that, I think, in life. I want you to like me and enjoy me, but I also want you to know that I can beat you up. But you know, I don't think I have that yet.
I'll tell you what I'm looking for, Mark. I'm looking for more, what did you call it earlier? Spirited conversation when you return to this said studio tomorrow, and we continue the conversation and get ready for the weekend.
Oh, heck yeah. You guys want a quick thing on Richard Hightower, or did you guys already cover that?
We have not heard
from Richard Hightower. Please tell us what he had to say.
Yeah, so real quick, he was asked about the Cairo Santos miss, and he basically just cited the operation. He said the snap, hold, and kick was not clean. Asked to be more specific about it, he said it's just the whole operation. As far as the Cairo Santos's inability in this case to not kick the ball through the end zone, Hightower kind of deferred to Ben Johnson at first a little bit, saying I think the coach sort of handled that, but then he did say we wanted the ball to go out of the end zone, and that didn't happen. And then he said the player thought he could do it. And then he was also, I love that when they call him the player. And then he was asked a good question, like was Torrey Taylor, the big-footed Torrey Taylor, considered as a possibility in that spot? They said he was not, but they do consider things like that. And then last thing, guys, he said, look, as far as, you know, some of the big returns that went against them as well, he said it was a tale of two halves and special teams was no different, which is true. Like, every phase of the game kind of stunk after the first half, or maybe the first half and change.
Isn't the coach's job to know what his capabilities are in these scenarios?
Yeah, no, it is, but that is exactly the way it works on special teams. You know, the coach goes to the head coach, goes to the special teams coach, the special teams coach goes to the player, and they thought that the player was wrong in this case. You want to trust your players, right?
No, it's human nature. They're always going to want to try to be that person. It's like people thinking they can land a plane.
I got you.
But you But you also want to, as a coach, as a manager in any sport, you want to trust your players, right? You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Guess what? They learned. And maybe now he won't get the benefit of the doubt next time.
Except for it'll be indoors, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Everything going good with you guys? Everything all right? Anything I need to know back there?
We'll tell you about the segment that just happened offline.
Yes.
All right.
Also, we're late to break, so we're going to have
all right, bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Mark. Bye.
That was Mark Grody live from Hallis Hall here in Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. Coming up next, Adam Silver. He typically doesn't say things that make you question him. The NBA commissioner did just that. You're listening to Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score and the Odyssey and iHeart Radio apps.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score.
That music.
I think we need that. I think this is necessary.
This is that 2 Chainz, Larry June and The Alchemist. It's one of the best albums of the summer of 2025. If you haven't listened to it, you should.
This is not what was playing during the Sean King segment, but if you would like to listen to that, you can use the Rewind feature in the Odyssey app.
But you know, this is a song that's called Life is Beautiful, and if Caleb Williams can get it together and the Bears can get it together, life would be beautiful in Chicago.
You know, I was going to say this sounds like The Alchemist.
Look at that. Look at that.
I don't mean to walk into these things sometimes, but that's kind of what
Layla
happens.
You got the ear.
Layla, what makes life beautiful is the fact that we know that on Sunday at noon, as long as you can get to a TV with an antenna or just basic cable or whatever, however you view stuff, you can watch this game, this football game.
I, too, have basic cable.
Yeah, that can't be said for other things, though, other sports. You might not be able to watch all your games just in that manner.
And I think that's why this sport is so popular, the NFL. It's because everyone can see the overwhelming majority of the product, which is used to be how I felt about the NBA.
Yeah, you'd have the occasional national game on, I don't know, an ESPN, a TNT.
Well, in the NBA, unlike the buzzkill that is MLB, is like, hey, you want to put highlight reels together of our sport? Cool. You want to put together a 12-minute YouTube video of James Harden playing terrible defense? Get with it.
Easy to find.
Does it make us get talked about? Yes, it does. And then we get talked about more. And then the next thing you know, inside the NBA happens. And then people we don't even understand are worth the max with the new TV deals are getting max contracts.
That is how it went, huh?
Pretty much.
Expedited version.
I know. People love Mike Conley, but at the time, that Max was a pretty bold decision.
Mike Conley. Is that your favorite Max contract ever given out as far as like, oh, didn't see that coming?
Maybe. Like, who's the Max that caught you that you didn't think would happen?
What's the guy, Chandler Parsons?
Chandler got the Max?
I think he had a Max deal.
Tobias Harris with the 76ers.
Oh, Tobias
okay, Harris. Tobias is that is the one.
Is Zach LaVine on any of your lists?
No, because we saw that coming.
Yeah.
And he qualified for All-Stars, so therefore, like, no, absolutely not. We saw that coming. I don't want to hear it from yous. So, yes, sharing is caring, and we think that the NBA used to be the league who knew this the best, which is why it was so surprising when Adam Silver was asked about the fact that it's so hard to find all of the games now because of the multiple services. He said this.
There's a huge amount of our content that people can essentially consume for free. I mean, this is very much a highlights-based sport, you know. So, you know, Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter, you name it, any service, you know, the New York Times for that matter, to the extent that your content is not behind a paid firewall. There's an enormous amount of content out there. YouTube, by another example, that is advertising based that consumers can consume.
Highlights are cool.
Did Adam Silver just basically tell us to do our own research?
He said highlights are cool. In fact, they're cooler than, you know, being able to watch a whole game. A whole game. I like to watch my basketball when I follow my local team by watching the whole game.
Chandler Parsons got the Max with the Grizzlies. That's why I didn't remember that. That might Tobias Harris and Chandler Parsons might be the
ones. Those are up there for best maxes.
That's how you knew the NBA was making money. I don't understand this answer out of the commissioner. And I understand that he's not going to say, we're not going to not do these streaming deals, because that's how you get more players like the ones we just mentioned, max deals. Everybody wins, except the consumer. And that's the problem I have with this.
Yeah, unfortunately.
NBA ratings didn't tank as much as people thought. But with answers like that, you could see why a trend might emerge.
If you have to, and we don't have this problem in Chicago, because I don't believe there's any national games that aren't going to be shown on the local broadcaster, CHSN. But for other successful teams that, you know, make playoffs year after year, to find your team when they play on Amazon Prime or Peacock, which is the service I currently do not have, that's going to be a challenge. And so now I'm going to probably go to a bar, because I'm not going to sign up for Peacock just to watch a team. I have League Pass, so I usually can watch the games. But these are games that won't even be on League Pass because they're part of the new media rights deals with these streaming services.
And that's hard, too, is when you're essentially defeating yourself. They've done the numbers. They know that this is more profitable for them. But one of the favorite phrases I've had of the early days of social media was League Pass alert. You immediately start watching the game that you think is going to be important. That's, I think, in part why the NBA became so popular.
I just hope that this is like the last frontier, although I know it's not. But it's a new media rights deal. Let's see how it goes. I'm excited about a lot of the things that are coming with this era. The idea that Inside the NBA will continue in a what sounds like it's going to be a very much short form. It's not going to be the long hour that we're used to, more like a 20 to 30 minute show, which is disappointing.
Tragic.
But I like some of the hires they've made for the in-studio analysts and everything else for Prime, calling the games. Eric Collins on NBA games, if you are not familiar with his work with the Charlotte Hornets or college football, you will love him, I believe, because I do. I'm just telling you. But I like a lot of the decisions that have been made from these companies that now have been entrusted to show NBA games.
Just surprising out of the guy who I feel like has always had good answers for questions that deserve good answers.
I like answers, all of them, good and bad, because even the bad ones I can be like, ha, that's terrible.
Well,
that's terrible.
The truth is a gift. And we always liked the answer too. Don't forget about that.
Yeah. Allen Iverson, practice. We're talking about practice.
Simpler times.
We're talking about practice, man.
I saw a meme that said, if you liked the NBA when guys were wearing these shorts, and they weren't shorts, they were the loose, massive capris. They basically said, like, it's time to get blood work done or something along those lines. But also, that's the era of the NBA that I choose to love the most.
Good luck, everyone, in their NBA following journey this fall.
Amen. We bring in Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.